Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Wednesday, April the 1st, 2026. How about that? First day of April, 2026, 4/1/26, 16 minutes past the hour, and we are off and running this morning. It is April Fool's Day. Boy, we're all excited for that. Don't you love a good joke? The joke today is that April showers, hopefully, will bring May flowers, but certainly the rain has come in. Do want to remind everybody very quickly that coming up Friday, it's coming quick. This week's going by very fast. We've got our big Easter event that we do every year. It's always a lot of fun. Friday morning, we will be broadcasting from an undisclosed location. But during the course of the broadcast on Friday morning, we will give you hints as to where we are. If you come and find us, we will have a basket of Easter eggs. In each Easter egg, there will be two numbers. You come find us, you draw a number, you will take that number with you, and we will take the Easter egg with the duplicate number and put it back in the basket. At 12 noon that day, we'll come back to the studio, the last hour of programming that morning, and we will draw out an Easter egg, and that person will win a prize. It's a lot of fun. We did it last year. We had a good number of entrants, and we look forward to doing that this coming Friday. And we thank Jason Schaber for Marion County Commissioner, the committee to elect him. He is supporting that event. So we thank Jason Schaber for that, and that's coming up on Friday morning. I hope you can find us wherever we are. Okay, well, what else is going on here? Well, I wonder, okay, last night I did something a little out of the ordinary. As many of you know, I love baseball. So last night I was invited to a River Valley baseball game, and they were playing Pleasant last night. So I went to the River Valley baseball game and had a good time. Went with somebody sitting up in the stands. It was a lot of fun. And here's the thing. So I'm watching this event. Now, it had just started to rain last night as I got there. No big deal. A little bit of rain. It wasn't bad at all. And then all of a sudden, there is this big lightning bolt that comes down and almost kills everybody. But luckily, it did not kill anybody. It just seemed as if it might have killed somebody if it had struck somebody. So immediately, we had to stop the game. Everybody had to come off the field. And everybody in the stands went and hid under the bleachers or something. So we were waiting for that. And by the way, and I like River Valley, and God knows I don't want any bad feedback over this, but their baseball fields could not be further away from the parking area. I don't know who designed that. Holy mackerel. There's a gated area. I don't know how many feet this is, but when you get, you leave the parking lot and there's an entrance, and then you have to walk all the way down this area. Literally, I was in a completely different zip code by the time I got there. I had to leave breadcrumbs to find my way back to my car. But in any event, I got there and watched the game, lightning bolt, so on and so forth. Then it was a good game. River Valley was leading for most of the game, and then Pleasant came back and took the lead. I think they had the lead 6-5 was the score. Although I'm not really sure because the scoreboard was kind of far away, and I think there were some lights out on it. But I believe the score was 6-5. So in any event, 6-5. River Valley down by one. That's the home team last night. And what happens in the bottom of the last inning? River Valley loads the bases. They load the bases. This is going to be exciting. Then, one of the people I'm there to see is the batter. And the batter gets up, and the pitch is thrown, game's on the line here, and the person took a crack at that shot, hit the ball with a lot of velocity, but unfortunately, hit the ball into the mitt of the Pleasant players, one of the Pleasant players, and the game was over. So that's how I spent my Tuesday night. Take me out to the ball game, but I had a lot of fun. I really, River Valley does a great job with all of their sports, and they did a great job keeping the kids safe during the rainstorm and the lightning storm, and the kids played great, and there was a lot of competition out there, a lot of good players, especially, can you imagine having the bases loaded and having to walk up there with your team down by one run? The pressure that kid must have been under. I was really impressed that he even got up there and hit the ball. Really, really professional kids and really good kids. I had good company last night at the game, so it was a lot of fun. As I said, my favorite sport is baseball. I've said this before, so that was a lot of fun last night. Okay, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I feel like I'm becoming a real socialite in the last week here in the Marion community. I was at covering the No Kings rally on Saturday. I was at Knighted Heritage Hall on Saturday night. I was at the River Valley baseball game last night. I'm just a regular socialite here in Marion. I'm becoming what do they call those people? Party hoppers. You never know where you're going to find a good story. 740-383-9944. Oh, and now this is, I don't know if you want to hear this story at you know, 8:20 in the morning. Well, I'll get back to this if I have time here momentarily. All right, go ahead, caller.
Okay, Scott, you want to know what the plan for Marion is?
The plan?
I just received my doctorate in economics. I've been with the people down in the State House, and we have a plan.
Who are we speaking with?
The plan is going to generate $4 to $5 million a month.
$5 million a month?
It's going to get Marion into the plus column. We're going to get our bond rating back. This plan will hopefully take place September or early October.
All right.
The plan is gambling and prostitution. We are going to have gambling and sporting women.
Now, gambling on
our
prostitution?
Our union station is going to be busy. We're bringing sporting women in from Chicago, New York, and St. Louis. But right now, we're looking for a building where we can house all of this and generate revenue.
Now, who do we have on the line here? Who's giving us this plan?
Who do you think it is?
I don't know.
You've been bellyaching all these months. I won't come on your show.
Oh, well, I'm glad you came today.
Here I am. That's the plan.
Well, here's the problem.
And Marion should be able to handle that plan.
Well, I'm glad you finally came on the show so we can finally dispel the myth that you won't come on the show. But here's the thing. I hate to tell you, and I think you should know this possibly from your past experience in life, past professions, but I don't believe prostitution or gambling is...
You didn't hear what I told you, Scott.
Okay, I probably did not.
The state of Ohio...
I've misheard before.
The state of Ohio is backing this. Marion is going to be a pilot program.
Oh, pilot program. Okay. So we're going to make it legal.
Well, if the state of Ohio says it is going to be legal and we can do it, and making Marion a pilot program, it's going to happen.
I don't know if this is a good idea.
Well, this is an idea they told me down at the State House that it's a genius idea.
Really?
I came up with it all by myself. Michael Bodine didn't have anything to do with it. I made this up myself.
Okay.
So, that's what we have to look forward to. We're going to be on the plus side. We're going to get our bond rating back, and everything is going to be fine. We're planning on building another fire station and two more aquatic centers. That's after a year, after all of this money has come in. We've got the bed tax of all these women and all the visitors. Convention and Visitors Bureau is going to be busy with people coming in to gamble and enjoy sporting women.
All right. Well, I don't know if that's the best plan, but onward and upward, I guess.
Well, can you come up with a better plan?
You know, I have nothing. I have nothing that would even touch that plan.
Well, people say I sit around and twiddling my thumbs, but I'm not. The state of Ohio called my program, my plan, genius, and that's what it is.
Really?
That's what we have to look forward to.
Who down there called that genius?
You will know tomorrow afternoon. There's going to be a press conference at the State House, and we're going to announce this. So come down noon to the Capitol. We'll have the press conference.
All right. Well, I look forward to the press release. Thanks for calling.
Well, we'll see you there.
Happy April 1st. Bye-bye. Now, here's what I have to do in the world that we live in. I can't say for sure who that was. I had nothing to do with it. And, you know, take it for what you want. Obviously, I think somebody having a little fun this morning. So, wasn't me. Let's put it that way. I don't want any blame for that. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
I am so glad that Bill Collins finally came on your show.
You know what? I am staying as far away from that. No, I don't want to hear any backlash. Don't send your calls to me on that one.
Well, I called in immediately to congratulate you on your finally.
Listen, I had nothing to do with that. You're not tracing that one back to me.
I am not against prostitution, as horrible as that may sound to some of your listeners. As long as it's two consenting adults, I consider it a business transaction. That's the libertarian in me. However, it is still illegal in the state of Ohio, so we should probably not, as a community, we should probably reconsider this money-making plan. I mean, I think it'd make lots of money, but since it's a crime, we should probably take a step back and think about that this is how we want to portray ourselves to the state.
I don't think prostitution's the way to go. I don't think that that's...
Nor do I, however. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah, but you know, here's the thing. That's just going to cause problems. You know, that's not a good look.
Well, we already have a serious problem with syphilis. And
I wasn't aware of that either.
Don't you remember the billboards they had downtown?
Oh.
Syphilis is everywhere.
Oh, that's right.
And it said everywhere, and then the word here was highlighted as part of everywhere. So actually, sadly, Marion does have a problem with STDs, but that's a little bit of a heavy conversation for a Wednesday morning.
Well, you know what? It's April Fool's Day, so there you go.
Touche. All I wanted to call and say was that my favorite caller, our friend from City Council, she talked yesterday about the pool and it being empty. and how, you know, if it's empty, we still have the payment on it, and we should try to make money. And I'm not encouraging the pool being closed, because I know a lot of families have a lot of good times there, a lot of kids, you know, can, like she said, it keeps a lot of kids out of trouble. I just thought when, after she said that, because I do reflect on these calls, Spears, believe it or not, the fire department, look at the amount of money we've sunk into that, and it's just going to sit until we can come up with more money to pay for it. So, you know, it's, we don't have just one example in Marion that if we let a building sit, like, I'm pretty sure the wreck probably cost us money while it was just sitting in some form or fashion. So we have a history of leaving things sit and not making money off of them. And then I have my own celebrity experience in Marion, and I don't think I like it, and that's probably why I don't
have
my house very
often. Here we go.
I was out passing some campaign literature reminding people to vote that we have an election coming up and that I'm trying to get as many people to the polls as possible. And I was walking back to my car to grab some more information, and somebody actually came out of their house and said, "Are you Naomi?" And I was like, "Oh, God. Yeah. Can we get a picture with you?" I was like, "Oh, my goodness." Sure, and I'm probably look like holy hell because I'd been walking a couple of miles at that point. But hey, that's my celebrity story.
That's good. So, that's good. Now, what were they? What did they tell you? What they were impressed with, or what they knew you from? How did they refer to you?
They follow me on Facebook.
Follow you on Facebook. I like that because I think for people, and I'm not necessarily saying you here, but there are people who need that kind of attention.
And I don't.
No, right. I'm not, right. But what
I'm not saying, like, I don't want to speak to people. That's not it. Like, when somebody says, "Are you Naomi?" you're almost kind of afraid to be like, am I? Like, how do you feel about her? And then I'll tell you whether I'm her or
no,
not.
No, I think it's good, though, because I know some people that is an important thing for them, and that Facebook, and I'm trying to be sincere about this, that Facebook is able to do that for some people, I think it's a very nice thing. Maybe we'll cure some ills in people's life that way.
You know what? If anything, I take this away from it. People are listening, whether they love me or hate me. People are listening, and that was one of the things that was killing us before, is that no one had any sources of information, no one had any voice, no one had a way to find out some of the things that we know now. And like I said, love me or hate me, you know about them.
Well, what I hope is just that people get it right. That's my only thing.
I try, Spears, and if I don't, I make sure that people know that I didn't get it right.
Well, and I think if you don't get it right, then say you don't get it right. In the same public place that you got it wrong.
I agree.
And also, but by the way, I think this is interesting. Not that I spend a lot of time thinking about this, because I really don't, although maybe I should. I just don't live in the city. I really don't. And that does, you do have a different perspective when you don't live there, but I do cover the city. And I think the biggest problem that they have in the ongoing conversation that we're having, because there's no doubt in my mind that they are stressed down there right now. There's
no doubt about it. They have to be. I mean, whether I like them or not, they have got to be under immense amounts of pressure right now.
Immense amounts of pressure, immense amount of stress, and you have to have a little bit of empathy for that, or sympathy for what they're going through in regard to that. But I think the problem is that it was November when this first became public. And I think the problem is I think they have never elucidated to the public why this is a problem.
Right. In my opinion, they should have told us why the state rejected the plan. You know, what is it that they didn't like? What needs to be worked on? And this is sort of the things that we're looking at. They should have told us that months ago instead of rolling these things out after the fact.
Yeah, but you know the thing that I hear from most people who are just casual listeners or casual observers to all this is they all say the same thing when they find out you're in the news or they recognize you. They say, how did the city get $9 million in the hole? This administration has not elucidated that answer well. So people,
I get that a lot in my inbox.
Yes.
I actually have an answer that's cut and pasted and saved in my notes that I can just send to people that no one stole money, because I do make sure that's known that no people, no one stole money. This money didn't end up in anyone's pockets. Now, if they could tell us, you know, like, where the streets overspent, like, it was this project or these projects, you know, if they could point to those specific things, these are the repairs that we made, these are the sewers, and yeah, we overspent, but this is what you got for our overspending, you know? Like, that might even ease the pain a little bit.
I just think they've never done that in all mm-hmm. the time. They've given very vague answers, but nothing mm-hmm. that anybody has really ever understood. And here we, you know, April the 1st, here we are now, what, 6 months into this, and nobody has ever elucidated the problem. So a lot of the fixes are not something people are willing to go along with because they really don't understand the problem.
Too much uncertainty, for sure.
Well, it's unfortunate, and this is why I think... Now, I was thinking about this the last couple days, maybe even the last week, and I think... Now, what do you think of this? Because people seem to be... there are no local elections this year, and frankly, I don't think I'd ever want to run.
Yes, there are. We have one coming up, sir.
Well, no, the county... But, I mean, you can't get in at this point, is what
right.
I'm saying. So
well, you could if you were an independent.
If you were an independent.
Yes, an independent. But yes, you're correct. The field is basically set.
Right. So here's what, and this will hurt a lot of people's feelings because if I know here it comes, but if I were ever going to run for an office, and I've always said that was very slim that I would ever do that, and I probably would never do that.
With the level of popularity now, that would you reconsider?
Well, here's what I'm thinking, I'm serious about this, is that I don't think I would do any good on the local level with where we are now. But here's what I've decided. And this is where I'll hurt people's feelings, because apparently people think I'm a Democrat. But the problem...
Is this word?
Well, here's the problem. You know, Amy Acton seems to have her problems. People dislike her because of the COVID thing. And then you've got Vivek Ramaswamy, and whatever's going on in the Republican Party, they have their problems. He's being primaried and all that nonsense. So here's what I think. I think that I should run for governor.
Okay.
Because...
That's my vote.
Well, here's the thing. Because that's what people always say. We don't know who to vote for. That's what I keep hearing about this race. We don't know who to vote for. We don't have anybody to vote for. So I figure if I get in there as an independent, which I guess technically I am, then I could be, you know, this state's not that big. It's only 88.
So you're not voting for Shaver? That's what I just heard.
Well, no, I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
No. I said...
You won't be able to run as an independent because you will have declared as a Republican. There's your monkey wrench, buddy.
No, wait a second. I don't know... Now, would I vote in a primary? I don't know if I would vote in a primary.
Okay. Well, then you're not voting for Schomburg.
Well, if he's in the main, you never know. You never know if he
gets
in the main.
Oh, true. Like if we had an independent pop-up. Okay.
Right.
Because then you could still remain unaffiliated.
Yeah, but I voted for Republicans and I voted for Democrats. So
have I, but unless you vote in a primary, that doesn't affiliate you with anyone.
Right. But I think I don't think you have to be a registered independent to run as an independent, do you?
You would need to check on that because independent is technically a party. The eyes of the state of Ohio.
Listen, from what I understand is going on down there at the Secretary of State's office, he didn't have time
Nobody
to worry
knows
about
anyway.
Me. He didn't have time to worry about me. So,
did you hear about Trump's executive order?
Oh, is this about the voter rolls?
Yeah.
Well, explain that for people who don't understand.
Well, my understanding is Trump has issued an executive order, which is not binding law, but he has issued an executive order to create a federal voter roll, which is where Frank LaRose sold us out, and the other states, they sold out their voters. And what do you want? The federal voter roll. And if you are not on that federal voter roll, the USPS is not to deliver your absentee ballot.
See, but how do you get on this voter roll? That's what I don't understand.
Registered to vote in your state. But if you voted within the past 3 years, you're considered a registered voter.
Okay, but weren't the voter rolls turned over to the...
Yes.
Okay, so don't they know?
Well, not every state turned them over. And, I mean, this is a completely new concept and idea that has not gone through Congress, so USPS doesn't need to comply with it.
Yeah, and I
and even the Republicans are up in arms about this. And
well, here's what I don't understand Congress. About this. And, again, this is one of those things like the Iran war. Okay, this is not going to benefit the Republican Party, which is what I would think he would be trying to do, because there are a lot of people in these states that Republicans win that haven't voted in 3 years, and I guess I don't understand how
so
this
why
is...
Why could he vote absentee, and that's perfectly safe and legitimate because he voted absentee recently. Why is that safe and legitimate, but if you and I want to do it, it's not?
I don't understand. Don't you think that in this, I mean, the Republicans usually win the southern states. Don't you think in places like Mississippi and Missouri and maybe even some parts of Georgia and those states, don't you think that there are a lot of people who don't have the means to get these passports and go and vote?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the federally compliant ID as well, that you'll need a federally compliant ID.
Yes, I don't... I mean,
not everyone has a federally compliant ID because they don't need one because they don't ever plan on flying.
No, but it seems...
My ID isn't federally compliant because I have a passport.
Yeah, but it seems to me like they're, you know what, cutting off their nose to spite their own face.
Yes, and what are they going to... The mail-in... ballots are increasing, and they're increasing in areas where Republicans vote, as you said, like very rural areas where it's hard for people.
And the older population tends to vote Republican.
Yes. Well, yes, because think about your nursing home patients and things like that that are able, things like that, people like that, I'm sorry, scenarios is what I meant by things. Nursing home patients, people that are homebound, people that deserve the right to vote but can't make it to go vote. So I think we should really make voting as easy as possible. Yes, you should have an ID and you should be an American citizen and all the other stuff that they rail about. But you should voting should be as easy as possible because it's a right that we all have. And the more people that exercise it, the more say the people are going to have over their government.
All I know is I can't figure out any of this voting stuff because every time I hear something about it, I keep thinking, does that really benefit you? Does that really benefit?
How can you cry about rigged elections and then start changing voter laws across the United States when that's a states' right issue?
And how could you get this done before November? I don't even think you could if you wanted to.
It's an executive order, so he can't. I think it's kind of almost like throwing it out there to see, to test the palatability of it among voters.
Yeah, but if things keep going the way they're going, by November, he might have some opposition.
Woo. Oh, he's going to have, I've predicted stuff before and been wrong, but I predict a blue wave or at least some seats in the House and Senate possibly flipping and him having a rough row to hoe for the next 2 years. But that just means the American people lose. So, vote in your local elections. Those are the elections that affect our lives every single day.
And vote for me for governor.
I'll write your name in, Spears.
There we go. We'll see, one vote already. That's all it takes.
That's it. All I needed to do was hear your name, brother.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, what an April Fool's Day we've got going here so far. Anything on anybody else's mind here this morning? We're already 45 minutes into the program. 15 minutes left in this particular hour, and again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. All right, go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I just have a question that I have, and just a question that people have asked me because they know I go to city council. When you talk about the $9 million deficit that they're in the hole, people bring up the question of, wasn't there at one time a $9 million or more or some number rainy day fund? So, like, if there was, and they're $9 million in the hole, then that means they're $18 million or whatever that number was that the rainy day fund was. So I'm kind of asking that question of you or Naomi or because it's a, you know, it's a legit concern.
Well, I think the rainy day fund, my understanding was when Schertzer left office, it was well over, I believe, $10 million. I hope that that's right. But I remember that number over $10 million. Maybe $17 million is the number I remember hearing when he left office was in the rainy day fund. And then, see, that's a question, is what was this money spent on? Because we've had our guesses as to what it was spent on. And why wasn't anybody keeping an eye on that in the last 2 years? Because you can't blame that on a past administration, because that's what they left you with to pay bills that they might have left. And nobody ever brings that up, because I believe that $17 million is down to something like $4 million now. Maybe even less than that. Which is how we got into the trouble we got into, because if the city went bankrupt, we wouldn't even have enough money to pay the bills that we would owe. So, yes, it's a good question. How did $17 million in a rainy day fund in $16 million is what Naomi's saying. It's 16 or 17. How did that money turn into, you know, three or four or less at this point within the course of 2 years? Because that was the overflow. Now, I can't imagine that Schertzer had $14 million in leftover bills.
I agree, and that's, I mean, so that's what I'm saying, is my train of thought correct that if we're $9 million in the hole and we went through $16 million, I mean, it seems like now they're kind of okay with, they're not okay with, you know, they're embarrassed by it and all that, but they're okay with people thinking it's only $9 million or $6 million or $3 million, depending on what day and who you listen to. And
well,
but, you know, it seems like they're okay with that $9 million, and nobody's asking about, or people have forgotten about the rainy day fund.
Well, yes, and I think that's where a lot of this started, and it was concern that the rainy day fund was dwindling, because as that dwindles, then you have to have budgets that balance, or else you're going to be in serious trouble. And not only did we find out we didn't have a budget that balanced at the end of last year, we found out that we were also in the hole nearly $9 million. But where did the rainy day fund go? You know, all that.
And really, in today's world with spreadsheets and the computer, you know, accounting and all that kind of stuff, I mean, this really shouldn't be rocket science to find out what we had and when it disappeared. And, I mean, you know, my ex-wife is like the spreadsheet queen. So, and she's good friends with Mr. Collins. So, I mean, I'm sure they could come up with something. But, I mean, there should be a way to print this out and say, here's where we're at. I mean, I get it. We didn't have records. You know, helps that situation, I guess. But
well, I just think that they have, you know, they've told us what they're going to do to try to fix the problem. But in 6 months, I don't think they've ever elucidated correctly how the problem started. And that's what leaves people in limbo. People are willing to take a little bit of pain if they know why the problem started. But I don't think people understand why it got to this point. Now, they keep saying, you know, they keep saying that, oh, well, you know, we didn't know how much money we had because of the auditor's office. Well, if you didn't know how much money you had, then why were you spending money?
You put the brakes on, right?
I mean, right, right.
You know, because guess what? We might not have any money in there. That's just common sense. Doesn't take a, or it could be, you know, somebody put out there, I don't know, some, it's like their ignorance of the rules or whatever.
You know, I hope eventually we figure it out, but if I was the mayor, I certainly, before the second plan went down to the state, I would have some kind of press conference or have some kind of time set aside at one of these city council meetings where all I do or did was address why we're in this matter so people know.
Well, and didn't Teresa Lubke, she got up and asked at one point, you know, will you quit dripping this out, drip, drip, drip to us, you know, treat us like adults, talk to us like adults. And I think Mr. Collins' response was, we'll do better. And then I think they announced, you know, a raise on something. And then I noticed in the last meeting, I don't know if you noticed, that when the question came up about Monday's meeting, and it was, you know, somebody said, oh, it's the fifth Monday, and we don't have one. I was kind of watching Mr. Collins and his finance director, and, you know, he was like, really, there's no meeting Monday? And she's like, yeah, it's, you know, fifth Monday. And he's like, oh, wow, great. you could tell he was so relieved that, you know, he had a day off from having to talk to council before, you know, April Fool's Day comes up and the budget's due.
Well, he's definitely got a lot of stuff on his plate. I wouldn't envy what's going on down there. But, again, I think he should speak more. I really do. I don't think he understands why mayors in the past have done that, and all politicians do it. They do it so things like this don't happen, so it doesn't look like they're operating behind the scenes, and then they get bombarded at city council. If you come on and you tell us the problem, it does get around. So then you don't have to, you know, chew your food twice at city council. But he is not, he's never managed the press well in 2 years. I don't know why that is. I don't know.
Well, you can't just be a you know, sunny day reporter and, or, you know, only do the good press releases and all that. As a leader, you got to take the good with the bad, and you got to be able to confront. And that's what, in my opinion, that's what builds confidence from the people. Is, you know, it's, as I said, when it's great being the leader. It's great being the mayor. When the shit hits the fan, you know, people are watching how you're going to handle things. People are, and for me, any leader, I don't care if it's R in front of their name or a D or independent, who it is, any leader who never, ever admits that, you know what, I thought this plan that I had before and how we were doing things was good and it was right, and you know what, I was wrong.
Well, and it's,
I'm going to fix it.
Well, all I have to say about this is, in this governor's race that's going on right now, how many times have people said, well, I'm not really a fan of Vivek Ramaswamy, but he does speak well. Speaking is an important job of a politician's term and tenure. And sure. I don't understand, you know, they called Reagan the great communicator. They talked about how well Obama communicated. And they were both very popular presidents because they were able to do that. And I don't know what Mayor Collins' issue is with that. I don't know what he thinks is going to happen if he did come on one of these shows. It's not like we're going to, I mean, has he ever listened to an interview? It's not like we're going to bombard him. I mean, he gets his chance to say what he wants to say.
Right. But I mean, it just very simply, it goes with the territory. And when you avoid it, I mean, as I said, he found out that, you know, we weren't going to have another council meeting because of the fifth Monday. And then we do a release on the aqua or on the pool that there's going to, I mean, to me, I agree that if you leave it closed, that it just sits there and it degrades more and all that. So if it were just breaking even and then the bank paying the payment, but raising it, if that causes membership to be cut in half, and he says before, they're almost breaking even. So if this increase in the cost causes the memberships to go way down, because people are really hurting for money right now, I mean, wouldn't that be kind of the same thing as not opening it?
Well, and that's, I guess, a gamble that they're going to take right now, I guess.
Right. Okay.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Food for thought.
Absolutely.
All right, bud.
All right, again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. A lot of very interesting points being made here this morning, 55 minutes past the hour. We've got 5 minutes left in this hour, 740-383-9944, and I certainly do appreciate the phone calls this morning. I think they're important things, and I think people are making good points here, and we've got time for another point to get in this hour, 740-383-9944, as we do have 5 minutes before the top of the hour. I think there is a communication problem going on here in Marion. I think there's a, I don't know, there's just some problems. We have to better explain to people how we got to where we got and why we are here before we can start changing things, I think most people would say. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, this was your friendly little opinion giver.
I like that.
About the pool, I'm very passionate about the pool because there's a lot of kids would not have the opportunity, and I think every kid ought to learn to swim. But if it was my house and I needed a roof or I needed to put chemicals in the swimming pool for this summer, now which would I do?
Right.
Either open it so everybody can swim or keep the damn thing closed. Completely closed. Only the rich kids are going to be able to afford to go anyway. And because we don't make it so that, you know, they keep raising the price, well, that just means that many more kids ain't going to get to go because they probably got brothers and sisters, and they're probably not going to let just one kid go or two kids go. But if they open it up, they have to put the chemicals in. They have to keep it running. So then go ahead and winterize it and put it to sleep for this summer. We don't have the money. Just like if I was needed a roof on the house, why my first priority would not be opening up the swimming pool, and everybody would be mad at me.
Well, and I think what you just said is it. Now, 2 points I want to make. Mayor Schertzer told me the 1 year that the pool was closed because of COVID, the mayor said that was the best year the pool ever had because of the payment, not having to hire anybody, not having to stock it, not having to repair anything, you know, offset the idea of the money they make because they do always operate in the red. Even though
that's true.
Right.
But that's just bull.
Right.
That's just bull. Either use your common sense. Can we afford to open it to everybody or not? So then we'll leave the cover on it.
Right. So basically, the Mayor Schertzer has told us the best year the pool had was the year the pool wasn't open. But
I understand that, but I'll bet you his kids had some place to go swim.
Right. But the second part of it, I think, is completely different to that. The city is getting a lot of bad press, and I believe that's why they're doing all of these changes through press release instead of having discussions at council. And because of that, they need some good press. I believe Mayor Collins believes he's got to have that pool open, because if he takes another bad story that I'm going to close the pool this year, you know, this man is really going to lose any chance of being reelected. And
I don't think he's going to have to. If he had a brain in his head, he wouldn't even run, but whatever.
Well, I think he's certainly thinking about it, because in the letter he wrote, I forget what the last line in it was, but it was something about, you know, these aren't things that are going to help me with the voters, you know. So he certainly is aware of it. And I've heard people on council use the term, what we're doing is political suicide. So they're aware of it. And, you know, when you're aware of something like that, you certainly don't want to shut the pool down to voters.
Well, yeah, but like I say, the only ones that's going to get to go to the pool again is the ones that can afford to. If you had three kids here and two neighbor kids and whatever else, they're not going to be able to afford to go, so that's just a cop-out.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see with these higher prices at the end of the year, are they going to get that pool into the black?
Okay, is mom and dad, unless the kid's going to ride the bike, are they going to be able to drive them to the pool?
It's an interesting question. This could backfire very badly on them.
Well, it's just because everybody runs around with their tail between their legs and don't act like adults and get on or haven't since when.
It's been a while. Hey, we got a break coming up, but I appreciate you calling in.
Hey, have a good one.
Thank you. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere. Marla,
I don't know that's why it was successful, but it was successful. So.